The Father willed to give us birth by the word of truth, that we may be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Alleluia. Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Marcum. When the Pharisees with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of his disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. For the Pharisees, and in fact all Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of the elders. And on coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. And there are many other things that they have traditionally observed: the purification of cups and jugs and kettles and bells. So the Pharisees and scribes questioned him, "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat a meal with unclean hands?" He responded, "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts. You disregard God's commandment, but cling to human tradition.'" He summoned the crowd again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person, but the things that come out from within are what defile. From within people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile." Verbum Domini.
Friends in Christ, we have quite a clear theme from the scripture readings this morning. It's the theme of law, God's law, and on the one hand, human laws and traditions on the other hand, and how we are to understand their relationship and how we should apply them. There's really two questions I'd like to focus our thoughts on this morning. First of all, we need to differentiate between what's God's law and what are human laws and traditions. And then the second question is how to avoid errors in this matter. And there's really two opposite errors, one by excess and one by defect, that I think we need to be aware of. First of all, the difference between God's law and human laws and traditions. We know that God, of course, is the sovereign lawgiver, the creator and ruler of the universe. But he's not a dictator. God has created us as free and intelligent beings, and he respects that freedom and intelligence. And so while God gives us, let's say, the big major laws, like we have in the Ten Commandments, and then summed up in the two great commandments that Jesus emphasizes, loving God with all our hearts and loving our neighbor as ourselves, we have the big major principles by which we are to govern our lives. That's God's law. But as regards applying those major principles to the constantly changing circumstances of time and place and history and culture, God respects that intelligence and liberty that he's given us. And so he delegates to the human community the task of applying those general major laws, putting them into practice in different ways according to circumstances. They can be either civil laws for the secular activities of our lives, or in the church we have ecclesiastical law. We have the big volume, the Code of Canon Law, which a lot of you have probably seen, in detail regulating the running and administration of the church. Now, while God's law is permanent, the Ten Commandments are never going to change, purely human laws can change according to circumstances in accordance with the appropriate authority who makes a ruling on that. So this is the difference between human law and God's divine law. One is permanent, unchanging, the major principles. The second kind of law, well, we have human prudence that God respects in the leaders of the church and in civil society. But those laws, of course, can change. And in some circumstances, extraordinary circumstances, that they don't have to be observed. There can be exceptions to them. So that's the difference between God's laws and human laws and traditions. Now, the other point that I said we need to think about this morning is the question of how to avoid errors in the way we approach law and God's law and human tradition. One of the errors is to be too lax, particularly too lax and slack in observing God's law. That's the message of the second reading this morning, and St. James sums it up in a wonderful 10-word summary. It says, be doers and not hearers only of the law, deluding yourselves. That serves as a very good little summary of the error of a lot of non-Catholic Christians who, following the ideas of Luther and Calvin, started to say that you don't have to do any good works in order to get to heaven. All that is necessary is just to have faith. And then if you really have faith, even if you commit serious sins, that's not going to affect your salvation because you have faith. That's all that matters. No. St. James is really saying here implicitly that kind of approach, which misunderstands the teaching of St. Paul, is self-delusion. So yes, it's possible to be too easy on ourselves, too lax, and make all sorts of excuses for ourselves in not following the law, particularly divine law, and also legitimate human laws, of course. We can too easily sometimes excuse ourselves from obeying those as well, forgetting that normally we are to be obedient to human law if it's just and it's provided by legitimate authorities in church or state. But the other error is the error that our Lord emphasizes in rebuking the Pharisees. They were elevating human laws and traditions to the same level of divine law as absolutes. And in fact, they were forgetting the very words of Moses, who they thought they were following so strictly. We heard in the first reading there that, among other things, Moses said, giving the law to the Israelites, do not add or subtract anything to the laws that I'm giving you today. Well, that's exactly what the Pharisees were doing. They were adding to the laws that Moses gave them in God's name, adapted for that time and place of ancient culture. They were adding to those with their own traditions. We heard some of them in the gospel here, insisting on all kinds of outward, detailed rituals, such as the purification, having to wash your hands in a certain way before eating, not for hygienic reasons, by the way, they didn't know about that back then, just simply because of a ritual preoccupation, and purifying cups and jugs and kettles and even beds. And the Lord says, you disregard God's commandment but cling to human tradition. You are forgetting the big picture. You are emphasizing these outward detailed rules and making them into absolutes, which they're not. And in the meantime, your hearts are full of things that go directly against God's law. God's law focuses much more on what's in our heart. And the Lord gives at the end of the gospel there a whole string of evil things that come from out of the heart of man. We too can fall into a danger of elevating human traditions to divine laws, seemingly divine laws. And there's a certain element of that in what's often called today the modern traditionalist Catholic movement. It's one thing, say, to prefer the traditional or extraordinary form of the Mass. It's another thing to attack the new rite of Mass, as though it is somehow evil or heretical, or it doesn't have God's blessing. And unfortunately, we hear this quite a bit. Just one simple example of how people can go wrong on this. I've heard this often, probably a lot of you have too. Oh, the new Mass eliminates just about all the prayers that refer to the Mass as a sacrifice, as the presentation on the altar of the one sacrifice of Calvary. Well, it's true that some of the offertory prayers have been eliminated to that effect, but nevertheless, three or four times in every Holy Mass, we have clear, in all of the Eucharistic prayers and the other prayers, there are very clear expressions of the sacrificial character of the Mass. Yes, it's a little simpler, it's a bit shorter, but it's not denying or undermining that Catholic doctrine. In fact, you could argue that in a certain way, the new rite emphasizes it more from the practical point of view. Why? Because those wonderful prayers, some of which have been eliminated in the new rite, were said silently by the priest in Latin in the old rite. Your ordinary people in the pews didn't get to hear them, much less recite them. Whereas now we have, with the new rite, the prayers expressing the sacrifice are not only retained, the main ones, but everybody pronounces them. May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good and the good of all his holy church. And the priest says, pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable. So everyone is actually consciously, if they're doing what the new rite says we should, actually pronouncing and thinking of those words that express what the Mass is as a sacrifice. So we need to avoid this elevating of a human tradition. It may be a beautiful, wonderful tradition, and I certainly think it's worth preserving. Most of us here probably do. I celebrate the traditional rite on weekdays. But let's not elevate it to the level of a divine law and make an absolute of it when it's not. Finally, we wouldn't be sitting here today if we were in that era, but we can think of things that we can do too, where maybe some of our traditions can become routine and they're not coming from the heart. When we bless ourselves with holy water, is that just a kind of a reflex routine? Or do we remember that this is meant to be a recommitment of our baptism, the baptismal water by which we are committed to being active and fruitful members of the body of Christ, as adopted children of God through baptism? Indeed, when we make the sign of the cross, is that just another routine reflex action very often? Or do we reflect that this is a wonderful, symbolic, expression of the essence of our Christian faith, the Blessed Trinity, and in the form of the cross, representing the great mystery of the redemption, the incarnation, the Lord's death on the cross for our sins. Let's pray for that discernment, dear brothers and sisters, to recognize the difference between divine law and human law, and to practice our beautiful traditions, but not in a merely mechanical way, but remembering that every human tradition has as its object to purify our hearts, because that's where the focus of God's law, the eternal law, is on, what comes out of our hearts. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen.